재미와 지식의 오디오 라이프. 팟빵!
If you think about it, a lot of things in life are about timing. Great things can happen at the right time, and opportunities can be missed if you miss out on the timing of it, just like Nicole Scherzinger. Did you know that will.i.am of the Black Eyed Peas originally wanted Nicole to be the main vocalist of the group? But alas, bad timing for Nicole, since she was tied up to another contract. Fergie ended up joining the Black Eyed Peas as a result, and that thrust them into another level of success. But not to worry, because Nicole ended up having major success with the Pussycat Dolls. So, all in all, I guess there's a time and place for everyone and everything. It's Sunday, February 13th, 2022. I'm Steve Hatherly, and this is the Steve Hatherly Show. What's up, sexy? Track one today, the Pussycat Dolls, When I Grow Up. Welcome to the program, everyone. You're listening to us on EFM 101.3 in the Seoul and its surrounding areas, GFN 98.7 in Gwangju, 93.7 FM in Yeosu, and 90.5 in Busan. Thank you very much for being with us today. Sunday, February 13th. Oh, it's a romantic day today. Maybe, because tomorrow is Valentine's Day. But tomorrow's a Monday, and Monday is just not the most romantic day of the week. So I'm guessing that maybe today, maybe last night, people had their romantic celebrations, but maybe it is tomorrow after all. Maybe some of you are listening right now and going, uh-oh, I didn't realize it was Valentine's Day or almost Valentine's Day. All right, let's get to it. Sunday in Tune today. Coming up on the show this afternoon, here's what we're talking about. Some fun and mind-blowing facts about famous pop stars and their songs. Then we'll transition to songs that were written in a very short amount of time. Hour number two, hit songs that you didn't know were actually cover songs, and then famous songs that were used, that used famous hits for samples. Oh, there's a long list of those for sure. So before we get into it, I'll remind you that if there are episodes of the show that you missed out on or you'd like to hear again, you can find us at podbang.com. That's podbang.com. You can also find us at iTunes or at Naver's Audio Clip. And if you find us at iTunes, please do hit 5 stars, hit subscribe, and leave us a nice review as well. We'll hear a song. When we come back, we get into Sunday in Tune. Here's Love, Feelings. Well, as we get started today, let's talk about some things that musicians did before they launched into their successful music careers. John Legend, he was the winner of an essay contest. During an appearance on the Carlos Watson Show, John Legend discussed winning an essay contest sponsored by the Golden Arches at the age of 15. The contest was themed around Black History Month, and the prompt was, how do you intend to make Black history? Legend said he wrote about something to the effect of, I intend to become a successful artist and use that success to help my community. His submission was the regional winner for the Dayton, Ohio area, and he received a small scholarship from the fast food chain for it. That's a great story. How about Nicki Minaj? She used to work at the Red Lobster. Nicki Minaj worked at multiple Red Lobster restaurants, as a matter of fact, and during an appearance on The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon, she revealed that she got fired from all of them. On one occasion, Minaj was let go for following a couple into the parking lot after they walked out with her pen. She banged on their car window and demanded the return of her pen from the pair, who, in addition to writing utensil theft, failed to tip Minaj. She told Fallon, my pet peeve is when people ask for extra biscuits. Please don't ask for more biscuits because I will slap you. That will get you fired from the Red Lobster. I miss that restaurant, by the way. They usually had great specials on. I remember they had a special on all-you-can-eat king crab legs that cost them millions of dollars. It was one of the worst decisions any restaurant has ever made, as a matter of fact. Very tasty, though. Here's John Legend, You and I, then Nicki Minaj, The Night is Still Young. I'm not sure if you know or not, but there are artists out there that started their music careers way younger than you think. Bruno Mars told Vibe that he had a full-time job at 4 years old as his father's band's resident mini Elvis impersonator. The band was called Love Notes, and Mars described it as a 1950s doo-wop review type of show featuring impersonations of Little Richard, Chuck Berry, Jerry Lee Lewis, and of course Elvis Presley. Mars would perform with Love Notes 5 nights a week. Here's another artist whose talents were discovered at a young age. 8-year-old Ariana Grande got early encouragement for her musical career from Gloria Estefan. Estefan told the New York Daily News that she was a passenger on a cruise ship where the young Grande was performing. I literally went up to her and told her and her mom, I don't know if you plan on doing this, but this is what you need to be doing because you are an amazing singer. Apparently Grande was singing the theme song from Titanic at the time. Cool story. Thank you, Gloria Estefan, for getting Ariana Grande started in her career, maybe. Here's Bruno Mars, That's What I Like, then Ariana Grande, Seven Rings. Billie Eilish told Harper's Bazaar that she wrote her first song at 11 years old and that it was about the zombie apocalypse. It was called Fingers Crossed, and it was heavily influenced by The Walking Dead. This isn't the track, but this is good too. Billie Eilish, Bad Guy. For some musicians, it takes months or even years to perfect a song that will be loved by millions. However, there are some musicians who have written famous songs in under a half an hour, and I have a couple of those on a list here for you. Here's Lady Gaga talking about her first. She wrote her breakout single, Just Dance, in a total of 10 minutes. In 2009, Lady Gaga jumped into the spotlight with Just Dance, and she wrote the song with producers Red One and Akon in Los Angeles. She told Heat Magazine in the UK that it took a surprisingly short amount of time to write it. It's been unbelievable the way the song has crossed over into the mainstream. It took 10 minutes to write. Well, the track hit number one on the Billboard chart and stayed in the chart for 13 weeks. Adele also wrote her debut song, Hometown Glory, in under 10 minutes. Before Adele was an internationally renowned musician, she was a teenager fighting with her mother about where she should go to university. Adele wanted to stay in London and study there, but her mother wanted her to see more of the UK and to go study in Liverpool. In response, Adele locked herself in her room and wrote Hometown Glory in under 10 minutes as an ode to the city of London. It's called Hometown Glory, and it was all about how I felt about London and stuff like that. I actually wrote it on guitar, and I was at school at the time. I actually find this song really emotional now, because since so much has happened since I wrote it, and it's been like 11 years, so my whole career has happened, and it's one of my favorites still to this day. Lady Gaga, Just Dance, and then Adele, Hometown Glory. While on tour, Ed Sheeran heard a few notes from Snow Patrol's Johnny McDade. The notes reminded him of a recent heartbreak, so he decided to write a song about it. I wrote it with Johnny from Snow Patrol, and he had just had a loop on his laptop that he just put down that was just a 3-note piano thing. That was Sheeran talking to Capital FM. He said, I just started singing over that, loving can hurt, loving can hurt, and then the song just kind of fell out within 10 minutes. The result? Was Photograph, which was released in 2015 and reached number 4 in the Billboard charts. Another tune that didn't take too long to put pen to paper was Kanye West and the track All Falls Down. He told the New York Times that he originally had trouble finding his voice in the world of music, but when he did, everything happened very quickly. Before, when I wanted to rap, my rap sounded like a bit like Cameron. They sounded a bit like Mace. They sounded a bit like Jay-Z or whoever. And it wasn't until I hung out with Dead Prez and understood how to make, you know, raps with a message sound cool, that I was able to just write All Falls Down in about 15 minutes. Well, the song came out in 2004, and it peaked at number 6 on the Billboard charts. Ed Sheeran, Photograph. Kanye West, All Falls Down. Hit songs that were written very quickly. and The Dream wrote Rihanna's Umbrella very quickly as well. When The Dream entered the studio one day, he heard the beats that producers Cook Harrell and Tricky had already recorded, and they inspired The Dream to write Umbrella in one swift recording. He said, man, turn the mic on. He's like, we're not ready. We just started moving this around. We've got to plug it up. We've got to get it right. And I'm like, turn the mic on. I maybe had to go back and change four words, but I sung it from the top to the end exactly as is how you hear the song today, right now. That's pretty amazing. You hear the music, you hear the beats, and then you just go in and sing the song from start to finish. That's incredible talent. This song will finish the first hour of the program for today. It's Rihanna, Umbrella. Hour number two of the Steve Hatherley Show. You're listening to us on EFM 101.3 in the Seoul and its surrounding areas, GFN 98.7 in Gwangju, 93.7 FM in Yeosu, and 90.5 in Busan. Thank you so much for sticking with us for hour number two on this Sunday afternoon, the 13th day of February for this year. And I'll remind you before we get into this second hour, if there are episodes of the show that you missed out on or you'd like to hear again, you can find us at some various outlets. One of those is popbang.com. That's PODBBANG.com. You can also find us at Naver's Audio Clip and at iTunes. And if you find us at iTunes, please do hit five stars, hit subscribe, and leave us a nice review as well. Coming up in hour number two, more of Sunday in Tune. Here are Banners, Someone to You. There's a saying that once a musician puts a song into the world, it doesn't belong to them anymore. When other musicians cover a song, they might change the style or inherent meaning of the piece by virtue of playing their own version. So here's a list of a popular list of songs that many listeners might not realize were written by someone other than the performer who made them famous. When Aretha Franklin, as we get started, covered this Otis Redding original in 1967 called Respect, she restylized it as a downtempo R&B pop song and reframed it as a feminist anthem. Franklin's version sold 500,000 singles in the U.S. and earned a number one spot in the Billboard Hot 100 chart, staying there for 2 weeks in total. Although Franklin and the recording industry acknowledged that Redding wrote the song, he initially criticized Franklin for taking the song from him. After that, we'll hear Twist and Shout by the Beatles. Phil Medley and Burt Burns wrote this song in 1961. And the Top Notes first recorded it. The Fab Four's 1963 remake was a smash hit. It peaked at number two in the Billboard Hot 100 and sold 1 million copies in the States and 200,000 singles in the UK. The Beatles acknowledged it was not their song, but at one point thought the Isley Brothers wrote it, considering they made their own version shortly before the Beatles. Medley wrote a few moderately successful songs throughout his career and died in 1997, and Burns most famously co-wrote Piece of My Heart and produced Brown Eyed Girls. Respect by Aretha Franklin, and then Twist and Shout by the Beatles. Many people might now know Cyndi Lauper as the voice behind the pop hit Girls Just Want to Have Fun from 1983, but Robert Hazard actually wrote and recorded it in 1979. Lauper's version reached number two in the Billboard Hot 100 chart in 1984, became certified platinum, and sold 1 million copies in the U.S., a combined total of physical and digital formats. But when Lauper and her producer approached Hazard about covering the song, he apparently rewrote some of the lyrics with her over the phone to change the song's perspective from a man's to a woman's. When Lauper started telling the press that she wrote part of the song, however, Hazard wasn't too thrilled and sent her a cease and desist order. After that, we'll hear It's My Life by No Doubt. To help promote their first compilation of greatest hits in 2003, No Doubt decided to record their own version of this pop song by the British band Talk Talk. The band's cover version was met with success in the States. It sold 500,000 digital copies and reached number 10 in the Billboard Hot 100 chart. Mark Hollis and Tim Freeze Green originally wrote the song in 1984 as part of the group Talk Talk, whom No Doubt credited when they released their version. Talk Talk broke up in 1991, though Hollis put out one solo album in 1998 and then left the music industry shortly after. Cyndi Lauper, Girls Just Want to Have Fun. No Doubt, It's My Life. Most people probably think Tony Basil penned the snappy pop hit Mickey, but Mike Chapman and Nicky Chinn actually wrote it about a girl named Kitty. Basil's cover made it to number one on Billboard's Hot 100 chart, selling a million singles in the U.S. as a songwriting duo, Chinn and Chapman broke up in 1983. Not related to that song, though, I hope. Sixpence None the Richer, the track There She Goes. The Laws saw success with their initial release of this song in 1988, written by frontman Lee Mavers. When Sixpence None the Richer covered the track in 1999, it made it to numerous charts in the U.S., Europe, and Australia, placing it number 32 on the Billboard Hot 100 and number 7 on Billboard's Adult Top 40 chart. The single sold again a million copies in the United States. The Laws essentially broke up in 1992 but reunited in various formations later in the 1990s and early 2000s as well. Mavers' last known live performance was in Manchester, England in the year 2011. Tony Basil, Mickey, Sixpence None the Richer, There She Goes. In part four of the show today, we take a look at a list of songs that were very famous on their own, but they sampled other songs that were famous as well. Well, the definition of a sample, if you're wondering, is a short snippet of a song previously recorded and dropped that is strategically placed into the instrumental of another. There's a long history of sampling, so many examples, but its origins are specifically from hip-hop. Since the birth of hip-hop, DJs and MCs have used samples to rhyme over, giving birth to the modern bops that you listen to today. I personally thank the Boogie Down Bronx for blessing us with such a gift. So, now that you're informed on what samples are, let's go over a few, shall we? We'll start with Eminem's Stan, and it sampled Dido's Thank You. The chorus of Eminem's Stan is part of a whole other song, Dido's Thank You. M didn't go down the traditional collaboration route when using the British singer's 1999 hit. Dido got a letter out of the blue which said, "We like your album, we've used this track, hope you don't mind, and hope you like it." Well, she played the song, and the rest is history, so I guess she did like it. After that, we'll hear DJ Khaled's Wild Thoughts. It sampled Santana's Maria Maria. The guitar on DJ Khaled and Rihanna's Wild Thoughts is right from Maria Maria by Santana. Maria Maria itself spent 10 weeks on the top of the Billboard Hot 100 back in 1999, and Santana said that he felt honored that Rihanna at all added a new dimension to the timeless riff. Eminem, Stan, DJ Khaled, Wild Thoughts. Kids from the 2000s will know that the chorus of Jason Derulo's What You Say was born from a few lines of Hide and Seek by Imogen Heap. You can't blame Jason for being enamored with Imogen's harmonies, and it's safe to say the world thanked him for it. His debut single went 5 times platinum. According to JD, Imogen loves the song, so it was a win-win situation all around. After that, Taylor Swift's Look What You Made Me Do. It sampled Right Said Fred's I'm Too Sexy. Quite randomly, Taylor Swift's Look What You Made Me Do uses the melody from Right Said Fred's track. I don't think anyone would think that Taylor Swift would be a Right Said Fred stan, and that makes the fact that members of the British group are credited as co-songwriters on her 2017 hit even more surprising. Jason Derulo, What You Say, Taylor Swift, Look What You Made Me Do. For the Steve Hatherley Show for this Sunday afternoon, thank you so much for being with us over the last couple of hours. Hope you enjoyed the program and all of the music today. We're going to wrap it up with MIA's Paper Planes. It was sampled from The Clash's Straight to Hell, if you're curious to know. Enjoy that track. Have a wonderful Sunday. We're back tomorrow. Hatherley out.